Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for March the 10th. I'm Paul White. I am in the 11th verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Zechariah on our continuing journey through this book. We've slowed down to a snail's pace in this 11th chapter to deal with this passage of prophecy regarding the shepherd, and specifically a prophecy that is fulfilled, I believe, and I think the 11th or the 12th verse especially makes this rather clear, that this is fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus, particularly in the passion of Jesus. Of course, the 12th verse, the price that Israel is going to pay to buy God out of the old covenant is 30 pieces of silver. And that price is the same price that the Old Testament categorizes a certain thing with. It's the price that Judas accepts in order to give Jesus up in the Garden of Gethsemane. And those who would have paid that price would have known these scriptures. And therefore, it's too much to be a coincidence that it's coincidentally that they give Judas the same price that God calls for in chapter 11 of Zechariah. Now, I will get deeper into that in verse 12 because there's a lot there, but we're really in 11 today, and I wanted you to take a look at the end of 10 so that you could think about what breaking the covenant looks like. I think what you walk away with is the idea that God, through the cross, effectively ended the old covenant, and that there's no way around the 30 pieces of silver. There's no way around the fact that both God and Israel wanted something else. And we now have to decide whether we are in a new covenant or we're in some sort of catch zone between the end of an old covenant and the beginning of a new covenant. I think, to me, the 30 pieces of silver prophecy gets rid of the idea that we're in some sort of catch zone between the two. Some have clung to the final verse of Hebrews 8, in which that which is old is vanishing away, and because their eschatology has all kinds of things happening in the future, our future, they still think we are in a fading old covenant, but not in a full new covenant. They also think that because they think the Hebrews 8 statement that God will make a new covenant with Israel and Judah means that God won't make a new covenant with Gentiles. And I think that's why it is important that we get this whole Israel thing squared away in our heart, that either God is going to do things with a future Israel and make a covenant with them, or he considers those who come in through Christ as a part of his Israel, and that covenant is a covenant of grace. And you know me, that's where I lean, that we are in the new covenant, that we're not in some catch zone. And for me, the reason I don't think we're in some catch space is because we're not in some diminishing old covenant world, because 30 pieces of silver were paid so that God would break that old covenant with Israel. Israel had already broken the old covenant in their heart. God's not capable of breaking the covenant in his heart. You can't just get out a covenant like it's a contract, like it's a house or a car, and someone can come and repossess it or foreclose upon it. Something needs to die. Blood needs to be shed. So Christ would die, effectively God dying on his end of the covenant, but so that there was no mistaking whether or not that old covenant was still in force, the opportunity is there for them to buy him out. The 11th verse says, and I know each day I keep going over those themes and then going into the text, but to me there's so much meat here and there's so many ways to say it that I'm just slowing down and taking a little time every day to say it a little differently. Verse 11, so it was broken on that day. There's the breaking of the covenant of 10. Thus the poor of the flock who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. There's a couple of things worth saying here. One is that the gospel has its greatest appeal to the poor, because the gospel is really a message that a king has come and brought a new kingdom. That excites the poor because it gives them the possibility that they might get to win in this kingdom rather than having someone stepping on their necks. This is why the Gospels continuously talk about the poor in terms of their future success. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Jesus come, the Spirit, and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." John the Baptist says, "Go ask him if he's the one, or do we wait for another?" Jesus says, "You go tell John both the things which you have seen and heard, that the poor have the gospel preached to them." Very important. So there's an aspect of verse 11 where the poor of the flock are watching him and knew it was the word of the Lord, because the poor of the flock catch these things in the spirit far quicker than the rich of the flock, because they're typically leaning more towards the strong hand of the kingdom. But there's a translation issue here as well that needs to be brought out. In the oldest Greek manuscripts we can find, as well as alternate manuscripts we have found, as well as the Septuagint. Septuagint, of course, reminder, Septuagint is the Old Testament translated into Greek, which happened about 130 to 150 years before Christ was born. A group of 70 scholars translated from Hebrew into Greek the Old Testament, so that it would be more accessible to the world, because people were not, even in that day, there was not a lot of reading in Hebrew. Might be surprising for you to know that by the time of Christ, there's a really good chance that he couldn't read Hebrew. He could obviously read Greek. He does so in Luke 4 when he reads from Isaiah 61. They would have been reading from the Septuagint. When you get into the Septuagint and the oldest Greek translations, the word poor doesn't appear. It appears as Canaanites. Read it that way. So it was broken on that day. Thus the Canaanites who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And Canaanites in an Old Testament context would be Gentiles, inhabitants of the land that are not part of the promise. This would be Gentiles. I think this is fulfilled at Calvary. When the centurion looks at the cross as Jesus dies, the sky grows black and the earth trembles, and the centurion says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And I think prophetically they see what the children of the kingdom, or what the children of promise, fail to see. And hasn't it been that way a lot? Sometimes when you're close to something religiously, you miss some of the obvious implications, particularly the implications of grace, mercy, and love. The closer you get to religion, the more you get into judgment and justice. The closer you get to the heart of the Father, the more you get into compassion, mercy, and grace. For some reason, it's the Canaanites who see and know that it's the word of the Lord. You could also indicate that someone like Pontius Pilate could see what the high priests were doing, what the leaders of Israel were doing when the leaders of Israel were doing it. Pontius Pilate seems to have this knowledge that they unnaturally want to kill this man Jesus. He even tries, without going too far, of course, he tries to release Jesus to them and is shocked that they're doing what they are doing. Why do you want to kill this man? He hasn't done anything. I don't find any fault in him. It seems as if he sees what they don't see. I think they saw it, the leaders of Israel. I think it's why they pay 30 pieces of silver to have him. They're fulfilling Zechariah 11. But the greater principle of this prophecy is that it was the Gentiles who saw what was happening. You could even have the fulfillment of this be when it is the Gentiles that arrive at the gates of Jerusalem and ultimately bring down the last bastion of the old covenant, the natural standing temple. We arrive tomorrow at the 12th verse. We have talked about it for days. We'll get into the meat of it. It'll probably take us more than one day to do so, because there's several things to say. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.